It's almost midnight, planet Earth. Do you know what your status is? It's almost midnight in Utah, Mountain Standard Time, April the 17th, 2021, Boblim Doc. This is the time of the recording. Do you know the status of the planet? Do you know what's going on? Do you got the message? And if you are listening on the radio, you might very well be listening to 5950 kilohertz WRMI out of Miami. And if you are listening on the radio, the notes for this podcast broadcast can be found at dfgtc.org/shownotes. That's D as in dog, F as in foxtrot, G as in golf, T as in tango, and C as in Charlie, .org/shownotes. And if you go there and you pick the right date, you'll be able to match those notes to what you're listening to on the shortwave radio. And that way you can look at links and news articles I read, if I read anything. And if you're interested in other podcasts, full disclosure, there's a lot of, you know, not so tasteful language in my other podcasts that are not for broadcast. But if you're interested in the other podcasts, you can go to imsully.com. That is imsully.com. Just go there, my friends. And if you want to get some of my MP3s easy, there's another way too. Just go to dfgtc.org/mp3. And if you want to know more about stuff I'm working on and potentially other things, like read some cool essays by my friend Jim Davidson, go to igluluau.com and you can be exposed to both sides of the peanut. Both sides of the peanut. And other than that, if you want to send me a nasty email, my email address is me@imsully.com. You can send me a nasty email. You can let me know what's up. But beyond that, let's continue on. You know, I saw this thing on the internet today, this advertisement for vitamin water. For vitamin water, you know, water that contains nutrients and stuff. I saw this ad for vitamin water, nutrient water, and it made me think of a cesspool. A cesspool is full of nutrients. A sewer contains all kinds of organic compounds. If you go to your sewer, you'll find some stuff. La cucaracha lives in the water. La cucaracha lives in vitamin water because it contains nutrients. Anyways, I don't want to beat up on vitamin water. I'm drinking my Folgers freeze-dried, undried instant coffee. What am I going to say, pals? But I will say this, we live in strange times. We could have ourselves an apple or some celery. We could eat ourselves some vegetables, green ones, preferably because they're healthy and not because they're old. We could live off of the clean, pure water of the high mountain passes of the Rockies. We could live off of cattle that are taken care of by Buddhist monks someplace in Boblimtok, Utah. We could do all these things, brothers and sisters. But could we get it all done before Christmas? First topic, or technically second topic, is a reading from the Bible. And this is a reading from Jeremiah 6, 16 through 21. So, yeah, I guess trigger alert, trigger warning. I'm about to read from the Bible. This is the English Standard Version. And once again, Jeremiah 6, 16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people. The fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words, and as for my law, they have rejected it. What use to me is frankincense that comes from Sheba, or sweet cane from a distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices pleasing to me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will lay before this people stumbling blocks against which they will stumble. Fathers and sons together, neighbor and friend shall perish. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yeah, so that reading from Jeremiah, you're probably saying, Dan, are you crazy? Have you gone completely insane? And the answer is maybe. I may have gone cocaine crazy. May have gone cocaine crazy from my Folgers coffee. I do not know what is coming. I am not the new Brother Stare or the Brother Scare. I don't even know enough about that gentleman who is no longer with us to have an opinion on whether or not I am like that. I am just Dan. And Dan probably knows about as much as you do. I do think that there are some very shady things afoot. The stuff that's going on in the province of Ontario in Canada right now looks weird. It looks a lot like the stuff that was going on in Australia about, you know, 7-8 months ago, and I think still is probably happening. And, you know, you could say, well, Dan, it's because of the pandemic. The pandemic that apparently allows nurses to choreograph dances. a pandemic that doesn't wipe out all the doctors and nurses and keep them so stressed out that they can't do dancing videos. What kind of pandemic is this? It looks like a psychological operation. It smells like a psychological operation. That's what it seems to me is what it is. And there may be something, some horrible thing that this PSYOP is covering up. And I don't know what it is, because the longer this lasts, the worse it looks, really. I know there are people who believe, well, it's the reset. It's the reset. It's the great global government. Well, I think we've had the global government. We have. We've had it for a long time. And as far as the reset goes, I think I tilt in favor of my friend Mike, who would say, well, that really just means going back to zero. And that might be what the reset really is. The reset might be a deliberate action or a recognition of events that will lead the human race back to almost zero. And the reason for all these PSYOPs, these gun shootings, these crazy viruses and bizarre race war scenarios, the reason for all these psychological operations is to keep you so busy and so confused and so stressed out that you don't see what's happening. And once again, your question might be, what does this have to do with the book of Jeremiah and what you just read? These stumbling blocks that are before us, I don't think these were put here by God. Okay, yes, indeed, the Lord works in mysterious ways, but the stumbling blocks I see are 100% the result of human beings and their failures, you know, and their misguided notions. These stumbling blocks that are preventing people from taking control of their lives were not put here by anybody else but us, and we could remove them tomorrow. There are not enough soldiers. There are not enough bullets. There are not enough bombs to stop us from removing these stumbling blocks if we wanted to. But yet they are there. And with respect to the rest of the passage of Jeremiah 6, 16 through 21, I would ask you to ask the question that I ask myself a lot. Wherein does the miracle fit in the story of our nation at this point? Because if you think that a miracle is coming, then you have to somehow, on some level, explain why. It might be because of prayer, okay? It might be that a huge number of Americans are praying to the Lord Jesus. I don't know that that's true, and I can't say. There is no earthly way I could ever measure that. But it might be that a miracle comes because of prayer. But when I look around America, that's not what I see. What I see are people wearing masks or masks discarded on the ground like garbage. That's what I see. I see a lot of things that don't quite work right. I see a lot of glitches. I don't really see the prayer angle. I know that there are people awakening to Christ because I did. I know there are people out there doing what's right for each other, even if they're not Christians. I know this because I've experienced it. I know that there are good people. But I also know that these are very dangerous and treacherous times. And there are moments when I ask the following question, and it is the scariest question I ask because it's the only question that leaves me sleepless. What? What precisely? And I'm going to drink some coffee first here. What precisely are they hiding? What is it? I mean, I've talked about some potential scenarios. I don't want to talk about the clathrate gun because people think it's a climate change issue and it's really not necessarily related directly to that. But I ask myself, what are they hiding? Because they're doing this operation so long that they are deliberately harming people. People are dying of adrenal fatigue. People are dying of stress. People are dying of it. Maybe not all at the same rate. Maybe not somebody you know yet. But people are harming themselves. People are overdosing. People are killing themselves. So the question is, with all the stuff going on that's deliberately harming people, why? What are they hiding? And if what they're hiding is the reset that my friend describes, then okay. What they're hiding is that they expect us all to be dead soon. Or they just don't care. That they just feel like that's where the arrow is headed. Either they're going to push us that direction, or they're simply going to let nature take its course, whatever that is. And that could be what they're hiding. They. Whoever they are. I don't know. If an asteroid were going to hit the planet, if an asteroid were going to hit the Earth, sometime in the year 2021, I don't think they would tell us. If we were going to be exposed to some huge calamity from a caldera volcano and that would cause an ice age or something, I don't think they would tell us. If in fact we are in the beginning stage, or rather maybe even the middle stage of what's called the clathrate gun, and we are now beginning to see worldwide uncontrolled release of methane from the continental shelves, from the Arctic Ocean, from a lot of places. If that were the case, they wouldn't tell us. Okay? They're not going to tell us about the things that are actually a threat. They're going to give us fears that drive us crazy and prevent us from doing anything but simply waiting to die. So no, I don't think it's the end of the world. I'm not a prophet. I'm not Brother Scare. But the Jeremiah passage was read for a reason. I do think we have to meditate at this point in human history, in American history, on where we think we're headed. Okay? You might have whatever opinions you want to. You might be a Democrat. You might be a Republican. But what is the exit strategy from this pandemic? What is it? We're going to wear masks for the rest of our lives, for our shortened lives, because the masks don't help. They actually hurt. So what's the exit strategy? Okay, are we going to keep kids in plastic boxes? Is that the plan? Is the plan to expose the whole entire youth of this country to a kind of ritualistic child abuse? Is that the exit strategy? Is that the end state? Because that's what we're looking at. And another thing too, before I go to the next topic, which is sort of related, maybe they're hiding the Antichrist. Prince Philip died, right? I think he's the husband of the queen or something. Prince Philip died. I think he was 100 years old. And I have no reason to give a crap about Prince Philip, okay? I have no interest in the royals. As a kid, as an American growing up, I was led to believe that, of principle, Americans should be opposed to royalty. We were supposed to be almost instinctively opposed to that nonsense. Boy, was I a fool. But here's the thing, though. Perhaps if you were to watch or attend or have a camera at the Prince Philip funeral, you might catch a picture of the Antichrist. If you were at the Prince Philip funeral, you might catch a glimpse of the Antichrist. That's all I'm saying. Next topic. Next topic for the Planetary Status Report. And once again, if you're listening to this on the shortwave, it's WRMI out of Miami. Miami, Okeechobee, the great swamp beast will arise. And if you're listening, it's 5950 kilohertz. That's the frequency that's penetrating your mind and going straight to your reptilian brain. Next topic. Double secret mutation. I'm going to read an article, and then, and I might not read the whole article because it's so terrible. This article comes from Financial News London, fnlondon.com. Arguably, this whole site is probably the journalists or computers. Even if they give you names, they're probably names for computers. But anyways, title of the article is Double Mutant COVID-19 Variant Detected in UK. Public Health England said that 77 cases had been identified in the country. And I read on. And the article is written by Berengeri Sim and published on April the 16th, 2021. And actually, it says I have to subscribe, so I'm just going to read a little bit about a new double mutant strain of COVID-19. You know something? I'm not going to subscribe to this. If you're listening on shortwave, you can subscribe to this article if you want to. That's up to you. There are other articles on the double mutant strain. Now, why do I mention this? Because in social media, there was also a pop-up that said, a double mutant variant of COVID-19 has been found in India and is cause of great growing concern. My friends out there in the radio world or out on the internet listening to this podcast, double mutant is not a scientific term. I'm sorry. I'm calling BS on this. I'm sure you'll send me an email because you're a genetic engineer and you'll say, Dan, I studied double mutants at the Double Mutant University. Fine. Send me the white paper that was written yesterday. But double mutant doesn't really make any sense as scientific terminology. However, if the purpose of these articles about COVID-19 is to scare people, then double mutant sounds really scary. It sounds really scary. It's the kind of scary where if the prime minister, the leader, the governor, the provincial manager, I don't know who runs Ontario, Canada, but I think his name is Doug Ford. And before we go too far down that road, isn't that the same Doug Ford that got caught doing crack and crystal meth? Yeah, I think so. But nobody talks about that no more because of double mutant, double secret mutant virus. There is a double mutant secret virus in your heart. It keeps you from falling in love with me. There's a double mutant virus in your heart that keeps you from finding your love for me. There's a double mutant living inside of you. And it wants to break out and find love, baby. And you can find love if you're infected with a double mutant. I'm going to stop right here. Next topic. Next topic, because this is so dumb and I don't get it, and I do. I'm going to drink a little coffee before I continue. I get it. I understand that it's a psychological warfare operation. I understand that we're in the middle. And I know I say this every podcast broadcast, Dan, stop repeating yourself. But it is true. I think we are in the midst of the biggest military psychological operation in human history. And I am still left with the question that leaves me up at night sometimes. Why? Because it's way too big for a robbery. Okay, and it's way too big for whatever that reset Klaus Schwab nonsense sounds like. Nobody will own anything. Everybody will be pixie dust. When I think about those words, it sounds like people are ashes. It sounds like metaphor. The Klaus Schwab thing doesn't sound like a real place. It sounds like a representation of oblivion. What happens when they erase you or you are simply erased? Double mutant? Double mutant may be many things, and I think it is the language of fear, but it's not science, brothers and sisters. Next topic. This is a quote from Dr. Freckles. This is a quote from Dr. Freckles. Why rank self-confidence as a virtue? Some of the shittiest people I've ever met had tons of self-confidence. That was said by Dr. Freckles. What does that quote mean? And if you want the text of the quote and you're listening on shortwave, all you got to do is go to dfgtc.org/shownotes and then just look up the date of the broadcast and you'll be able to get to this Dr. Freckles quote on your own. But what does the quote mean? Why rank self-confidence as a virtue? Some of the, and I'm not going to say the bad word again, but some of the most terrible people I've ever met had tons of self-confidence. So says Dr. Freckles. And I will chime in with Dr. Freckles. I've met a lot of people with self-confidence in my life, a lot of the positive mental attitude people. And yes, every once in a while you run into somebody that legitimately has self-confidence, you know, in a way that is good and integral and makes them who they are, and God bless them. We need people like that. But I've also met, and frankly it's been most of them, people with all this self-confidence who are just really terrible people. And their self-confidence is about stuff that's really crappy. And so this idea that self-confidence is a virtue is flawed. I think self-confidence can be a strength. It can be a strength. It can be a source of energy. It can be something that contributes to who you are. But do I think it's actually a virtue? And the answer is no. I think there are reasons for you to take pride in yourself. I'm not even sure if the Lord in heaven is upset by pride. I don't think there's any evidence that pride is really a sin as long as it doesn't go too far. Okay? Pride goes too far when it becomes something that is a problem for your neighbors, for the people around you. Pride goes too far when it interferes with other people's existence. That's when pride is going too far. But if pride is just you feeling good about being you, I think that's fine. And if self-confidence is something you have, that's great. But we need to be clear about objectives, don't you think, brothers and sisters? It's like if somebody says, why can't you be optimistic? And then my response is, optimistic about what? The wars? No, I don't even care if they're successful. They need to end. So I'm not going to be optimistic about going around the world blowing people up. So what do you want me to be optimistic about? The banker scams? No, they're harming people. You want me to be optimistic about house flipping? No, that's related to the banker scams. What on the Death Star, because in that metaphorical sense, that proverbial sense, I think we could say we live on the Death Star. But what exactly on the Death Star do you want me to be optimistic about? What about being a slave should I have self-confidence about? How and in what universe is wearing a mask because a quack tells you to? How is that a sign of anything but obedience? Even if you have a positive attitude about it, even if you wear that mask with a lot of, you know, aplomb and self-confidence, sure. Next topic, and actually, I got a quote. Oh, you love William Shatner for the same reasons that you might love a French bulldog. And I know that I just made a lot of Star Trek people probably upset the original series. I don't even know why they get into that nomenclature about that, you know. But there are people out there listening on shortwave who probably say, listen there, buddy. You can take away my guns, and you can take away my beer, and you can take away my bacon, but you can never take away my William Shatner or my cute little Puddles. Because I named my French bulldog Puddles, and yeah, I guess it, no, is it ironic? My little Frenchie Puddles is a cute little dog. He's got one problem, though. And that's why I call him Puddles. Yeah, Puddles. Puddles the Frenchie. Why do I compare William Shatner to a French bulldog? I'll tell you why. Because even though I do think he has shown some talent, and I think a lot of his talent existed, you know, in the Twilight Zone series, the various shows where he played a part. And I think he might have even been on Outer Limits as well. But when he was in one of these shows, I think he did great. I think he had talent. He still technically does. He's not dead yet, right? But the Star Trek stuff was ridiculous. And his character, Captain Kirk, is just so much pomposity. It's almost impossible to lampoon Captain Kirk because Captain Kirk is a self-parody. And when I look at a French bulldog, I get the similar kind of feeling. Like a regular bulldog, maybe it's still a dog. I don't know. But when I look at a Frenchie, I don't really see a dog. I see a parody of a dog, and or more, even more so, I see a parody of kind of the human spirit in search of love. Because what the French bulldog really represents is absence. Somebody or something was supposed to be there. Someone was supposed to be there in your life. It could have been a husband. It could have been a wife. It could have been a kid. It could have been another French bulldog. And so what do? When one French bulldog dies, you go to the Pez dispenser and you get another French bulldog. And what did we do with Captain Kirk? Well, we basically recreated him, you know, of course, with a different name, Jean-Luc Picard. But the point is, Captain Kirk, too, got reused. One dies, another is born. And it goes on and on and on. And you say once again, you love William Shatner for the same reasons that you might love a French bulldog. Because he's ugly and moist and greasy and crumply. He's got a little bit of a belly. And you know your Frenchie would look really cute in a Captain Kirk gold shirt. You know that your Frenchie would look beautiful dressed up as Captain Kirk. Topic. So I mentioned that I have my own, yeah, I'll call it what it is. It could be a psyop. I'm going to talk about something and, you know, full disclosure or trigger alert, I'm going to mention somebody, but I'm not attacking them, okay? This is not an attack. I'm going to mention the name of somebody and this is not an attack. And the name is Dane Wigington. And Dane Wigington runs a website called geoengineeringwatch.org. He also has a YouTube channel. If you type in Dane Wigington in YouTube and geoengineering, chances are you'll find his channel. And before I continue, I have no reason whatsoever to question Dane Wigington's integrity. I don't. I have zero reason. I have no evidence. From what I can tell, from what I've seen, he seems like a decent and honest man. And I've listened to pretty much almost all of his weekly podcasts for like the last few years. And I don't really have anything I could tell you that is a red flag. So before I continue, I want to just say that. This is not an attack on Dane Wigington. But if I'm going to tell all of you that the COVID-19 is a psyop and the race war is a psyop and the purpose is fear and to immobilize, then I also have to mention a fear monkey that I've been thinking about for about 2-3 years now, and it's called the clathrate gun. Do I think it's real? I don't know. The good news in my case is I have a time limit. If you're still listening to my podcast in, let's say, April of 2022, then I would guess that the clathrate gun was just a dud and not something to be afraid of. It's not to say that methane isn't being released. If you believe the news you read, there are massive plumes and releases of methane occurring right now around the Arctic Circle. And some of these methane releases are these huge blowouts that create pingos. They look like moon craters, but they're very deep. And again, these are pictures and these are photos and these are stories. All of this could be manufactured. All of it. And if that's true, then you have to at least for a moment pose the possibility that even Dane Wigington, who I believe is an honest and decent man, you have to be willing to put forward the question, is it possible that the geoengineering stuff itself is a psyop? And I'm not saying that he would be involved, but imagine, if you will, that you wanted to, for example, get people scared. And one way to scare people, or one way to introduce fear, is to do things that are really strange and have very few good explanations. For example, you could just add water vapor and other materials to the exhaust of a jet engine, and you could potentially create the same effects we're seeing that we call geoengineering. I am not saying that is what is happening. All I'm saying is that if you're going to look at what's going on right now in terms of the global psychological warfare operation, because it is global and it is big, then you have to at least be willing to accept the possibility that a lot of the things we think might be real concerns could be 100% made up. I'm going to repeat that. That yes, I've researched the clathrate gun. Sometimes it's called the methane gun. If you want to research the topic, it's called uncontrolled methane release or natural methane release. You can research methane hydrates or clathrates, and this refers to a stable form of methane that is frozen and under pressure depending upon the environment. And if you believe the science about the Arctic Circle, there are trillions of tons of methane in a frozen form that could be released. And one small percentage of that, one 50 gigaton burst, if it occurred, and this is something you research this, look up Dr. Shakova, do your own research. But if you research this, one burst of 50 billion tons of methane, which could occur, and according to Shakova, could occur over a short period of time, a matter of weeks, would raise the Earth's temperature by 1 degree Celsius in a matter of a few months. That one burst, which represents a small percentage of the methane load in the oceans, would represent pretty much all of the carbon that human activity has added to the atmosphere in my lifetime, which is most of it, which is pretty much almost all of it. And that's just one burst of methane. And the thing about the clathrate gun is it is a positive feedback. So that burst of methane leads to more bursts of methane. But what I am telling you is that if you're listening to me podcasting this time next year, or better yet, if you're listening to me on WRMI out of Miami, Okeechobee on 5950 kilohertz, if you're listening on shortwave this time next year and you can still go to Burger King to get your chicken nuggets or go to Taco Bell to get your taco time, if you can still do normal stuff this time next year, then I think the clathrate gun might not be a huge concern. Because the good news, bad news about the clathrate gun is it's a rapid process. It's not slow. It doesn't take 100 years. If it's a real thing, it happens so fast that human civilization would just sort of just cease. And the worst case scenario with a clathrate gun, so I can get done scaring you and you can do your own research, is something called Venus syndrome. And if we entered Venus syndrome, which we could get to with the clathrate gun in only a couple years, in a couple years we could enter our own Venus syndrome. If we reached it, it probably wouldn't be like Venus. It probably wouldn't be warm enough to melt lead. But even if it was just hot enough to be cooking turkey for Thanksgiving, life as we know it on the surface of the Earth and probably all over the planet would cease to exist. So we don't have to get to Venus levels of heat for life to cease to exist. We just have to get basically above about 125 degrees Fahrenheit everywhere on Earth with convection. At those temperatures, photosynthesis no longer works. We're done. That's the scare, okay? I just gave you a narrative, and it is a scary narrative, and it is one that I will tell you that even if you thought was possible, it does have a shelf life. It becomes less possible this time next year. If we're not reading about ships spontaneously sinking in the ocean or airliners falling out of the sky for no reason, if we're not seeing the evidence this time next year, then probably it's not a concern. And even if that's the case, that doesn't mean Dane Wigington is a questionable person. It could also mean that he, like the rest of us, was, you know, grifted, conned. And we are all grifted and conned by our governments all the time. So we really shouldn't beat each other up for it. So even if that were the case, it wouldn't necessarily impact upon the character of Mr. Wigington. It would simply demonstrate that these psychological warfare operations are very complicated, very intricate, and yes, they are ongoing. But here's the problem. In order to propose what I just said, you have to propose that for the last 100 years, the government has created a paper trail to make it seem as if, to make it seem like they were capable of controlling the weather. Because geoengineering and weather control goes back to World War I, probably before that. Go ahead and research on Dane Wigington's website. It's very well documented. geoengineeringwatch.org. Go to that website, and Dane Wigington has documented patents, he's documented research going back 100 years. So if geoengineering were a psyop, it is one of the most interesting psyops in human history because it has a paper trail that goes back way before anybody would have asked questions about chemtrails, you know. Next topic, but before I continue, I just want to say this very quickly, just get this out of the way. I believe Dane Wigington is a good man. Actually, if I ever had a chance to interview him for my podcast, I think it would be awesome. And I have no evidence that this is a psyop, that the geoengineering's a psyop. But I will say this, if it's real, if Dane Wigington is right about it, I think it fits with the COVID psyop. It really does, because with COVID, you can cover up a lot of nasty respiratory disorders that are in fact being caused by toxic shock and toxic exposure. So a lot of things that we would call heavy metal poisoning, all of a sudden, they're the COVID. So I will say this about geoengineering and the COVID. They work together, okay? You can do a lot more geoengineering if people are convinced that every time you have a cough, it's the monkey herpes. There you go. Next topic, okay? Let's keep it going. I have a few quotes from Dr. Freckles, but I'm going to let you look into it. If you're interested in the notes for this podcast broadcast, as stated, just go to dfgtc.org/shownotes. And if you're listening on shortwave, it's WRMI out of Miami, 5950 kilohertz, being pumped as a radio wave out of the Okeechobee from deep below the swamp. Voting and dieting. So here's a very simple diet, and it works, okay? And this diet works, although you should get a bunch of friends together. And if you're a voter, you're going to love this diet. I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat or even Libertarian. If you're a voter, you're going to love this diet plan way better than Noom. It's guaranteed to work, this voter diet. Going to love this diet if you're a Republican or Democrat or a Libertarian or a socialist that votes socialist. Step one, get a bunch of friends together, a bunch of your voter friends, Republicans, Democrats, socialists, Libertarians. Get your voter friends together and hold a vote to determine if food should appear. You will vote on whether or not food should magically appear, and then you're just going to wait there and wait for the food to appear. You're just going to wait. And what you do is you keep voting for food to appear, and then you keep waiting for it to magically appear. And what you'll notice over the next few days and weeks is that the pounds will melt off. You will vote for food to appear, and you will lose weight. You will sit in a prayer circle. You'll go for walks between votes. You'll hold debates, like Lincoln Douglas-style debates, on whether food should just magically appear because people want it to. And here's the thing. When you vote for food to magically appear, this can lead to imaginary food, imaginary pizza, imaginary tacos, imaginary cheeseburgers, cheeseburgers with bacon, imaginary bacon cheeseburger with crinkle fries on the side. That's right. But the good news about imaginary food, and this is well documented in Venezuela, the good news about imaginary food is it contains no calories. That's right. If you vote for food to magically appear, there's a good chance that this will lead to imaginary food, also known as hunger-induced psychosis. But we're not going to call it hunger-induced psychosis. No, we're going to call it the voter diet, or also rebranded from the Venezuelan diet plan. And imaginary food has no calories, brothers and sisters. It has no nutritional value. You can eat as much imaginary chocolate ice cream as your imaginary heart would desire. You can if you want. I saw a YouTube commercial today. It was about a Japanese tonic. The commercial went like this: drink this Japanese tonic. Drink this Japanese tonic. Drink this Japanese tonic. And lose 3 pounds every 3 seconds. I saw a YouTube commercial, and it said, if you drink this tonic, if you consume this tonic, you can lose 3 pounds every 3 seconds. And that's how I knew the Japanese had invaded Venezuela. Yes, that's how I knew the Japanese invaded Venezuela. Next topic. Remember, if you vote for food, you will lose weight. Remember, if you vote for food, you will eat imaginary food. Remember, imaginary food contains no calories, and this is your clean exit 2021. Yeah, I'm going to skip through some of this stuff because you know what? Here's the next topic. Don't give up. Don't give up. It's one day, then 1 week. I'm not selling happy, shiny crap. I'm not simply saying don't give up. If you can fight, you should fight. In that proverbial sense, if you can breathe, you should breathe. If you get so sad and angry, you want to punch the world, I get it. I don't know who needs to hear this, because I do. I do. There are days I wake up, I need to hear this. I need to have somebody say, don't give up. And you may think that's lame. If you're listening out in the shortwave, if you're a ham radio operator, ex-Navy SEAL, and you're wondering why this whiny dude is saying don't give up, I'm telling you to not give up too. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on other people. These are very interesting times. And yes, indeed, there are reasons for us, a lot of us, to question our humanity and to question our neighbors and to question what's going on. And all I can say once again is don't give up. That's my advice. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. If you have to register it, you don't own it. That's a Dr. Freckles quote, but he had a similar one about taxes. You know what, guys? It's true, though. If you have to register a gun, you probably don't own it. Because at any point in time, some government will say, oh, you bought this gun, and you'll say, yes, I did, and can we have it? So you don't own it if you register it. But think about this, and I want you to think about this. Maybe leave this as a topic for you to meditate on. But when your child is born, at the hospital, what do they immediately do? They give you a birth certificate. They give your kid a social security number in some cases. Maybe they automatically do that now. When you think about it, when your child is born at the hospital, your child is being registered. And you're going to say, well, Dan, oh my gosh, I can't believe how crazy you are. Do you want brothers and sisters getting married? Do you want incest, you know, accidentally occurring? Because people, no. I don't want people accidentally participating in anything like incest. But that has nothing to do with registering your kid. Okay? What happens to your family should be your business. What happens to your children should be your business. But there is essentially a truth here, and it bears repeating, so I'm going to repeat it. If you register it, you don't own it. If you register it, that means somebody else has a mark on it. And I'm sorry, but this applies to the kid with a birth certificate. If, you know, if you're an anarchist or a libertarian, and you're going to have a family, and you're deciding to do this, you need to make your own decisions that feel right for you. And I know that it sounds kooky. Dan, how can they participate in the blah, blah, blah if they don't have the numbers? Well, I guess that is pretty difficult. On the other hand, there are lots of ways of getting fake IDs. And I would rather do a service to somebody to let it be their choice. The thing about the birth certificate, the thing about that social security number, in some ways you can never take that away. Because once the government has a record of that kid, now that person, that kid is on a list. And now that person can be tracked. It doesn't mean they will be. It just means they can be. But if they're not on any list, if they're not registered in some computer as a name, a real name, I don't mean a fake ID name. I mean the real name that your parents gave you in the, you know, before God, okay? If you're not in a system like that, then they can't do anything to you. And I'm not attacking libertarian friends who've decided to do this in the past, you know, who've said to themselves, well, Dan, you know, I wanted my kids to have a normal life. I wanted my kids to have normal relationships. I get it. I understand. But at some point in time, we all need to wise up, and now is a time to wise up. So if you're saying to yourself, should my kid have a birth certificate? Should my kid have a social security number? And if the answer you come up with, well, what if they get abducted? My response is, what if the birth certificate is a gateway to abduction? What if the registration process is the first step to your kid being on the menu? I know that sounds crazy, Dan. That's crazy that hospitals are providing menus for pedophiles and other types of monsters. But what I would say is this, why not? After what we've seen, after the last couple abysmal years of this discontent, this monstrous lie, what prevents you from opening your mind to the possibility that a hospital builds a menu for creepy, evil people based upon the children that are born there? What prevents you from going there because you know people that work at hospitals? I've worked around hospitals. I can tell you, I can believe it. Anyways, for those who have been listening, this has been the Planetary Status Report. This has been the Planetary Status Report. For those of you that are listening, it's WRMI out of Miami, Okeechobee, 5950 kilohertz if you're listening on the radio. And if you're just listening to this as a podcast, then who knows what frequency you're on, man. Maybe you're on frequency 28. Maybe you're gelling with Magellan on light frequency 7. Maybe your crystals are tingling within the Magumba zone of your own Flimbic on frequency 76.7. Maybe you're contacting your sector self. Maybe there are ghosts that live inside your mind. Maybe there are rats in the walls. Maybe there are cats chasing balls. Maybe there's a hawk looking for you to steal you, to steal your French bulldog. Maybe your French bulldog will get killed. And if so, like I said, you've been listening to the Planetary Status Report, and this is Dan Sullivan signing off. Sayonara.